Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the May 1st DEEB Development Engineering Advisory Board meeting. My name is Ryan Wilson with Wilson Architects. I am the current president of DEEB. Go ahead and go around the room.
Andrew Gunther with PLS Engineering.
Seth Halling with AKS Engineering.
Houston Aho, Aho Construction.
Dan Weisner, Songbird Home.
Mike Odwin, McKay Sposito.
Brent Davis, Community Development.
Victoria Abram, Community Development.
Justin Wood, Clark County Association of Realtors.
Sherry Williams, Community Development.
And let the record show that Eric Alemo just showed up with SGA Engineer.
All right, those online.
April, that's you.
Am I the only one online?
Yeah, you're muted. You're muted.
Oh, not muted.
Uh-oh, that's Shannon's fault then. What? No.
Can you hear me yet?
April, can you hear us now?
I can, hear,
we
you.
Hear you.
We can hear you. I can hear you just fine. All right, April Firth, Director of Community Development.
Jackie Lane, just a person, right?
All right. I believe if there's anybody I missed, here's the last chance. All right. As a reminder, this DEEB meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the DEEB's website. Next order of business is to review and adopt the meeting minutes from the April 10th Advisory Board meeting.
Mr. Chair is one of the few that actually reads this all the way through. I move for approval.
The only thing I noticed was that it said that the next DEEB meeting is May 5th.
Oh.
But since everybody obviously made it here.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? They are approved. Next, to review upcoming events. Victoria.
Hello. So for the county council meetings on Tuesday, May 6th, they will have a council meeting for the five-year consolidated housing and bridge load restrictions. On Wednesday, May 7th, there will be a work session with the county council for fireworks and the Commission on Aging 2024 annual report and bylaw revisions. For the planning commission work sessions on May 1st, this evening, 5:30, we have the climate element update and then the comp plan policy for the climate element part one. And for public hearings, planning commission on May 15th, the spring 2025 biannual code updates will be going to the public hearing. That's all we have upcoming for May.
Brent, are those the ones that we've been talking about for like the last year and a half? Okay.
Yes, I'm on the agenda to just give a quick update.
Okay.
The workshop that's tonight, the climate element update, that's a open to the public workshop, right?
Yeah, I saw that one as well. I think that's for the environmental components.
Yeah.
For the comp plan?
For the comp plan, yeah.
Yeah, that's tonight. And then there's another one, I think. There's a work session, too, for the board that I saw in a different notice.
That's how it's written on here. I was just wondering if that, you know, some work sessions are private, I think. But I think this one's public. Just in case somebody wanted to listen in.
Oh, you can listen in to work sessions.
Oh, okay.
You just can't work session. You just won't be able to comment. There's no public comment in work sessions.
I don't have any comments anyway. I just wanted to listen. Okay, member announcements.
I do have something that I would like to just briefly, we don't have to necessarily resolve it, but first of all, like to extend a welcome to Houston as finally a member of DEEB.
Thank you.
He's been a member for the last 10 years or so. Okay. As well as Les McDonald with Clark Regional Wastewater District. I don't know if he's on. No, it doesn't look like it. He missed his first meeting. But the question I have is, and I was discussing this with Victoria a little bit, they have their dates their expiration dates as 12/31/27. And so the question was whether or not we have their expiration dates as the date as when those particular positions were open, or do we want it on the dates that they're actually starting? And I don't know as if the bylaws say exactly, because you looked at them, right?
Yes, I didn't see anything related to the.
It's just three-year terms. And so I'm thinking that a three-year term would be from when they started, not when from the position was open.
I believe my term was 3 years from the letter that I received saying that I was accepted to DEEB.
Okay.
Yeah, the bylaws do say when vacancies occur, the county manager shall appoint someone to fill the unexpired term, which would imply just what's left of that person's term.
Whoa. And then we need to figure out if these were unexpired terms.
Well, that's if they're vacant. So the ones that were reappointed, mm-hmm. I think that's the 2 years. But if someone goes 3 years, yeah. Okay. So if they go halfway through and someone a year and a half in, and then they move and we fill it for the end of it, then they do the year and a half and then they get reappointed for the full term. I think that's what that means.
Okay. So I don't think that that's the case in Houston or Les's situation.
Those are new.
So would everybody be in agreement that we have 5/1/25 as their start date and their expiration would be 5/1/28? Would that make sense?
It also gives us some time to fill it because technically I think mine was just open too. So I just got reappointed. I got my letter today. So I think I've been showing up.
Yeah.
This is the time I stay.
And that yours makes
sense. You can show up. You just can't vote.
Right.
Because we have some in June, some in March, I'm in March, one in July. And then the rest are in at the end of the year on 12/31.
I don't have an issue either way. I'm just looking forward if they all stack up where they're all expiring at the same time, then we may want to keep them.
That's one of the reasons why we went from a 2 year to a 3 year term, so that they were staggered. And in fact, I think the staggering is probably a little better. So I don't know if we have to. I would move. Let's do this properly. I would move that we have Houston and Les's terms start today with their expiration being on 5/1/2028.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Who do we have that expires at the same time of 12/31/20, whatever you said?
I'm in that batch too. I just got reappointed today.
Because I don't think there's an issue if everybody expires at the end of the year, because then you're only once a year filling spots versus multiple times throughout the year. But it becomes an issue if everyone's terms expire on the same year. Does that make sense?
Well, we have Ryan expiring on June 31st of this year. And you expiring on July 30th of this year. So obviously when you guys were brought on board, it was the day that you were brought on board, not the end of the last term for that position. Okay. So I've made a motion.
Second.
This is Terry Wallum. I'll just add that my term also expired and I also just got reappointed like Eric did today.
And you have the same December 31st, 2027 date as your new expiration. But you guys have been attending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'd never quorum otherwise. We had so many of them that were done, and it took us 5 months to get them filmed. So we should probably get on it sooner this time with you guys, because it takes about 3 months, it seems like, to advertise it, to get it. I mean, even though you're probably going to get, if you want to keep your position, they still advertise it, I believe, every time.
They do.
So.
When did they advertise them? How in advance?
60 days. Or the ones that expires at the end of June. For Ryan, your position expiration, I have the press release ready to go. And then I was going to also put yours on there as well. So one press release for both positions.
So I just have to write you a letter to say that I want to stay.
Redate the same letter. Update your resume with your.
Is it possible to revise this whole system?
Well, it's kind of what we've been doing for like the last, 19 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering if it's possible to revise this. It seems like a clunky way to. If somebody's wanting to stay on the board, I mean, I don't know, maybe there's a legal reason it has to be advertised every time, but.
We haven't really had an issue with it. It's just on those open positions taking a while to get somebody filled, even when we've had people apply.
I guess I'm more on the, if somebody's wants to renew and just stay on the board, why does that have to be advertised and.
I don't know. There might be a process piece. I'm not sure what other committees at the county do. There's a lot of advisory boards, and we probably match what they do. So before we change anything, we should probably check to see what that process is, so we're consistent. I'm not sure. Like planning commission is a little different, but any of the advisory boards like parks or, you know, what do they do?
Elderly.
We should probably handle it the same way to be consistent across the county.
Looks like Victoria is going to look into that. She's writing.
Yep. Perfect.
Awesome.
And I guess that's the same opinion I sort of have with rather than changing term dates. Is that what the terms were supposed to be? And it just took us 5 months to fill them, right? Like, I don't necessarily want to change something that.
That's where Victoria's coming from.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's against some rule or bylaw or something, then I don't think we have the ability to make that motion and make that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we do. I don't know.
I'll do some.
So we have March. So we have June, the majority of us are March and December, and then you and Ryan are the ones out. So you guys should probably go back to March as well, because it was March. It used to be March.
Probably.
It used to be March. Okay, I'm going to withdraw my motion and wait until Victoria gets back with some additional information, and then we can take it up then.
The bylaws do mention the second page, the last sentence says this section will in no way abrogate the authority of the county manager to reappoint a member to finish their original term of appointment. And then it also says reasonable effort will be made to determine the member's continued interest before the vacancy is declared. It almost sounds like it's just allowing it without going back to notice, but.
Oh.
A review of it and begin.
Okay, well, maybe we table this for now and then take it up next month, and Victoria might have some additional information.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a lot easier if the county manager could just reappoint people who want to stay on.
Right, without reapplying.
Yeah, and public notice.
So you've probably reapplied, 8 times?
A couple.
Can I just give a cautionary tale?
Certainly.
And I know it sounds great, and it's because you guys don't have an issue, but if you ever had anyone on the board that you might not want to go forward, that is why I believe you don't have that they don't have automatic renewals.
That's a good point. Thank you, April. Okay.
Well, we wouldn't have any control over that. The county manager would, I guess.
But if we didn't post it, then there wouldn't be an opportunity for someone to go against them. for us to be able to provide a recommendation for someone else to fill that.
Yeah, I guess what I was getting at is it sounds like the way we were looking at it is that the county manager could just automatically reappoint somebody, but they don't have to.
Okay, well, we'll probably get a better handle on this next month. Thank you for indulging me.
Any other member announcements? Okay, we'll move on to the spring 2025 biannual code updates.
Thanks. I just wanted to give you all a quick update. This is the same batch of code amendments that came before you a few months ago. I had a work session with Planning Commission on the 17th of April. They had really the only substantive question they had was regarding the extension of the time frame for expenditure of impact fees. So we're scheduled to go to hearing on May 15th with the Planning Commission. The SEPA is out now. It went out yesterday. And then we are scheduled to go to hearing with council on July 15th. We'll leave it up to council after Planning Commission if they want a work session on any. Nothing's really changed substantively in the package since we went to council previously. So we're not anticipating another work session, but I will probably be coming back in June to ask for a recommendation to council for the hearing.
Have we not already provided our recommendation for this batch? Because this was the stuff that we were talking about in 24, right?
Yeah, but we never asked for a formal recommendation.
Oh, okay.
And that's it, unless there's any questions. All right, thank you.
So it looks like next on the agenda is the EV charging thing that I kind of asked for that. I was, is Michelle, I think Michelle Finley is.
Michelle Finley.
She was going to attend, however, she fell ill. So we have Sherry, Michelle's place.
So it really was just kind of, this all came out because I've been questioning the RCW where it talks about group A, E, and M occupancies, that you only have to provide EV charging for employee space, or sorry, employees parking spaces. So this is 429, section 429, exception 2.1. Which is that the provisions of this section shall apply only to designated employee parking spaces. And I've really been confused about, since we don't typically designate employee parking spaces.
So Michelle, she did check with the state and they don't regulate employee parking spaces. So that exception really doesn't apply. It would be, apply to all your occupancies in that group you just mentioned, because she did check and they really don't regulate employee parking.
But that the applicant could. I mean, the applicant could say these are employee parking spaces.
They could, but I think because the state is not recognizing that, we wouldn't accept that exception.
But it's in the RCW.
Yeah, it's state law.
I do believe that a similar question in a City of Vancouver meeting that I sat in, there was a question around this, and they landed on the same thing. The state doesn't specify, and the state just wants a percentage of the total parking spaces, regardless what they're used for, is how they landed on that. So.
Yeah, it just begs the question of why is it in the RCW then? I mean, it was put in the RCW for a reason. It doesn't seem to make sense to say there's something that's in the RCW, but it would never apply.
I agree, and I think maybe they need to probably rewrite it and take that out.
Well, they update this thing. It seems like every year and a half. So.
Yeah, imagine. I mean, it seems like the intent is for employees, because if you're a retail place and you have a customer that's there for like an hour, they don't need to charge in that hour. But if you have an employee who's there for an 8-hour shift or more, then it's, you know, reasonable to charge at that time. So I don't know. I mean, it's a conflict in the codes in the RCW.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because it is in there as an exception.
So is your question, how is the county then interpreting that section?
Yeah. Well,
but we don't like that answer.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's just not.
Yeah. Yes to both.
That's a lot of infrastructure, especially if you're mostly like, say, I mean, I'm not sure which occupancy you're talking about, but imagine it's like
A, E, and M. So
can you point that to those of us who don't know what those occupancies
mean? Yeah, so assemblies are going to be your A is your assembly occupancy, but it's going to include fitness, gyms, restaurants, you know, sports event locations, things, any assembly type occupancy. E is education, so schools. And then M is your mercantile, so all your retail occupancies. But A and E are probably the big ones there, because if a high school didn't have to provide EV charging for students, but only had to provide it for employees, that's a big percentage difference. And most schools have designated an employee parking lot,
right?
You know, they have a student parking lot and they have an employee parking lot. So it'd be relatively easy from a design perspective to differentiate between those.
And I wouldn't imagine that a hearings examiner would have any jurisdiction over that interpretation.
I think
it's above their pay grade. It's at the state law.
The RCW is law it should control.
Yeah.
And the interpretation that, well, because we don't designate the spots, it's kind of the applicant's burden to show what's employee and what's not. That's how I would interpret it. So if you're the applicant and you have a certain number of employees and the RCW says it's only for employees, then why would you default to, well, we're just going to do it to all of them. We're going to assume everyone's an employee. And the intent in the RCW is pretty clear.
Because is it then you have – what was the percentage on that?
You mean the percentage of EV parking spaces required?
Yeah. For those particular.
Yeah, it's the 10, 10, and 10.
It is 10, 10. So it's 30%. I mean, 10 installed, 10 wires, and 10 with chase.
Yep.
But what? So what's the exception then? What's the percentage on the exception?
Oh, the exception that he's talking about is 2.1, the provisions of section 429.2 shall apply only to designated employee parking spaces. And like I said, Michelle did check with the, she was up at Wobble, and the state really doesn't regulate employee parking spaces.
But,
and so it is in there, but it probably shouldn't be in there. So
I think it should. 10-10. They just need to give guidance on it.
Not if they don't regulate it.
But okay, so, but the state doesn't regulate any parking requirements. It's the local jurisdiction that regulates the local parking requirements. So how could you say if the state doesn't recognize employee parking?
They don't regulate it.
They don't regulate any parking. They just require you to put in these the EV infrastructure and chargers and stuff, based on a number of parking stalls, based on the occupancy, but then they have an exception. And if they say they don't regulate it, it doesn't matter if they regulate it or not, because they don't regulate any parking stall. So what I would say to that is that if you have an application with one of those occupancies, and that if you in your application designate employee parking areas, then that particular exception should apply. And I think that that's how the county should interpret it. It has nothing to do with the state at that time, because it's already law, and the state doesn't regulate parking stalls or recognize employee parking. They don't recognize non-employee parking. They don't recognize patron parking. They just don't recognize parking. in their regulations. So I would say if that's the case, then it would be my assertion that the county should recognize this exception as long as employee parking is identified within an application. Would you agree?
I do. Yeah. Okay.
Would you mind taking that back to Michelle and maybe discussing it internally as well? Because I know it's the building department that oversees compliance with the electrical vehicle charging requirements to make sure that we're all on the same page in that regard, because I would hate for this to go up the ladder to a hearings examiner and him to go, well, yeah, I agree with the applicant.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Great. Great.
So do we need any kind of motion? Like our position would be this.
Should we have a, yeah, we can have an official position on it.
I move that the Clark County Building Department recognize the exception in, can you name off the RCW and the subsection?
Section 429, exception 2.1, 429.3, exception 2.1. 429.3, exception 2.1. Well, I might not have printed off the most current, but this is, I printed it straight from the RCW website.
Well, it's understood that it's the exception for the
exception 2.1.
M and
E
occupancies, that they're only, that the exception applies to those occupancies for a 2%. What's the percentage? What's the exception say?
The exception just says you only have to apply.
Applies for employees, provided that employee parking is identified within an application, designated within an application.
It just says designated employee parking. Okay. Yeah. So.
So that's my motion.
Okay. All in favor?
No, we need a second.
I'll second.
A second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Aye. Sounds like that's unanimous. I heard Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you for
coming. Thank you, Sherry.
Appreciate it. Thanks for sitting in for Michelle. Hopefully, he feels better.
Hey, Ryan, good job bringing that up, because that's a big deal, actually.
That is a big deal.
And it's something that just people aren't thinking of, and we're probably on the front edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come up more. These applications come up, and it seems pretty clear that it's for employee parking based on those occupancies.
Yep.
And from driving the EV myself, I don't really need it when I'm going to a supermarket or a church or somewhere where I'm there for an hour. I need it if I'm going to be there overnight.
Yep.
Like a hotel or something like that.
Yep. Okay. Next on the agenda is the EAP work session.
Sorry, before we finish that off, Mr. Chair, Victoria, can we put this back on the agenda for next month? I want to make sure that County Building doesn't lose sight of it, and I'd like to get an update on it from them.
Absolutely. We'll invite Michelle Finley back.
Sorry, Ryan. Go ahead.
And tell Michelle we hope she feels better. D work session review. So this is the council work session review. I guess I'll go ahead and start this, but anybody else who has attended that can jump in as well. I thought it was a productive one. I didn't really know how this one was going to go, because there's been a fairly big change to the county council since the last time. And it seemed like the last ones of these I attended, Medvigi and Bowerman were really probably the most vocal of the counselors who spoke. So I was interested to meet the new counselors and find out what they had. Somewhat not surprisingly, I think a lot of them didn't really know what DEEB was or what we did. So a lot of the discussion was just around that. Certainly the climate action portion came up as well, but it seemed like where the discussion really had the most traction was how we can improve communication between DEEB and the council and how that could go forward. Certainly, it was pointed out that they're welcome to attend any DEEB session, just like any member of the public is. But it kind of felt like the discussion was maybe how can that get improved and how can communication between DEEB and the council get better. So I guess that was kind of what I mainly wanted to bring to this group, to see if we could brainstorm potential ideas on how that could happen.
I think it was also reminded to the council that they can request DEEB if there's a topic, so that it's both ways. We can request a meeting or to be there, and the council can also request that we're there. But there was a general consensus, I think, from staff that it's preferred if we just attend the meetings so that they can call on us if they need to. That's kind of the consensus I got. But then,
Are you referring to work sessions and hearings? Because we used to speak at work sessions all the time.
And I remember Eric brought that up.
Yeah, I took notes. I was going to wait. If you guys are done. I took some notes of kind of what the discussion were and some of the things to follow up on. I did know, and I think Fuentes was not able to attend, and that was, he was one of the new ones. It'd be nice to have met and talked to him a little bit. But yeah, during the hearing, we discussed how we used to be a participant at work sessions and not public comment. And what's happened over the years, especially I think after COVID, is if we do go, we go to testify. We're their advisors. So we're their advisory board. And we talked about what the process is there. And it's not just we just show up when we want to. We can ask to present and they can ask us to present. So if we're invited, then we're no longer part of the public. We're part of a resource that can advise them like the board is just supposed to do. The idea that we have the same weight as the general public when we are appointed to a board, we work together, we work as a group, and we work with the county in conjunction, that's our purpose. So having, when we go to a hearing and we're there to advise them and we have 3 minutes like the general public, doesn't really seem appropriate. That's not how it used to be. It kind of just got morphed there over the years. Some of the other notes that I had here were, our goal really is to try to make things better for the county, to be smooth, to actually give support to staff when they have a difficult situation. So it's not just them making that decision. You can bounce things off of us. So a resource for the council and staff. And, we have as a board, I think we all agree, we have a high standard of professionalism. We might not agree with everything, but we're going to be respectful. We're going to try to see both sides. We're going to explain why. We're going to look at the intent. We dig into it. We're really not serving our own personal interests here. We're trying to really be a resource and look at both sides of a situation. And we collaborate with staff. So one of the things, personally, that I've really enjoyed about being on this board is you get to kind of know staff. You get to see their side. You get to see their frustrations and vice versa. And we share that. And with that interaction, we can better advise them. And I think we become better professionals and staff becomes, better at doing their job as well. So that was kind of some of our discussion. A few things that they brought up that we need to look at. We probably need to add this to our agenda. We need to review the climate action recommendations. It's already going to work session tonight, I think, with the council or planning commission. We should probably put that on our agenda to look at what those recommendations are once we have firm recommendations and look at unintended consequences. So a lot of times the group that is writing these has good intentions, but there may be things kind of like that parking standard that we might be able to identify with our experience because we're in the trenches. So they said, they want us to comment it. They want us to review it. So we should put that on our agenda.
Do we want to do that for next month, regardless of what we have? So at least see what they have.
I think we requested that in the last meeting that it would be on an agenda, but I don't know which agenda.
Right. You responded back. Yeah.
Oliver. I reached out to Oliver and they just weren't ready to present today. However, they would like to be on a June or July DEEB meeting.
And that's pretty much what my main notes were. Just kind of looking through them really quick. I know there's other stuff discussed, but those were my follow-up ones.
So I got the impression that, I think there are some legal questions about it that were brought up, but I felt like they were encouraging us if that we believed there was something that would be worthwhile workshopping with the council, that we could just go ahead and put in that request and ask for it. So I think it'd be interesting to try that. I was also wondering if, you know, we could, if we saw that there was a workshop coming up that Deed might have an interest in, maybe even putting in that request.
Those types of workshops in the past we have attended. There hasn't been really anything lately that has spurred us to, you know, have a representative there. We all kind of used to, you know, it's your turn, or whoever was most. I mean, if it's something more from the legal side, Jamie would attend. Eric, I don't know, you've probably attended
quite a few,
dozens. But that our presence there, because oftentimes they do want to know, at least in the past, well, what does Deeb have to say about this? And if we have a representative there, then we can do it. If we can attend virtually those workshops, then that makes it even easier for us. And I know that April mentioned that we can't comment, but if we're there in this capacity, I'm really sure we could.
We used to be in quite a few workshops, and it was by invite or by request. So we can't just show up and talk whenever we want. We have to ask them to, you know, we'd like to be part of the workshop, and then they have to grant it, or they can request it from us. So that's kind of how it used to work in the past. So we don't have, you know, carte blanche to just show up anytime we want. That wouldn't be appropriate either, but no. We are their resource. And if they need our help, we shouldn't have our hands tied to not be able to provide that assistance. And that's really one of the only ways you can talk to the entire board too, because it has to be a public setting. Mm-hmm. It's not like we can just, you know, advise them and just show up at the council office and meet with them all. That doesn't work that way. So we kind of have to do it sometimes that way, or we have to talk to them individually or send emails.
And I think what staff was getting at was, if we just, even if we don't do a formal request, but we're in the room, then that's an opportunity that council can then address us from, you know, to come up and speak more. Mm-hmm. And so I think they were trying to encourage us to show up when we can, but also recognizing that we already commit time to this. And so I think that's what council was getting at, was how do we formalize it so that we don't feel like we have to just kind of show up and wait to be called on.
And that's why we have, you know, that's why we go through the agenda. What's happened though lately is that, there's a planning commission hearing tonight, you know, or workshop tonight, and we don't have that opportunity. And I don't know as if we would know ahead of time early enough in order for us to schedule at least one of us to be able to attend and to answer.
That also came up, that the way the meetings land. And so I think it was, I don't know who, Kathleen, I think, said, you know, maybe we need to have a discussion around, do we want to continue meeting on the same day, or do we, you know, like talk to staff and see if there's a different day or time to where there's less conflicts or there's more time between us and Planning Commission so that we can review things and, you know, plan accordingly.
I think a lot of those groups meet the first week of the month, which is the same as us. So, you know, I guess one solution could be maybe move Deeb to the last week of the month.
We do get the notices by email. I don't know if you guys get them, but I get the Planning Commission ones.
I don't.
I see them, but then we don't get to decide. But it doesn't mean that we can't, you know, talk.
There's got to be a mechanism by which to do that, because we've done it before.
We have. Yeah, it's not a huge deal. If we want to be there, we can.
Yeah. And we don't necessarily have to be there for everything, and we don't necessarily review everything that they are reviewing, but we might want to make it more
if one of us is attending officially, we should let them know ahead of time that we're attending
that is
right.
Yeah, and I don't know how that would probably be through Victoria. Yeah, you're so agreeable.
Email me and I can always send it on forward.
Because I know, because when it comes to, you know, even though, you know, I'm going to say, you know, biannual code amendments and stuff, we've already gone through these code amendments quite a bit, this batch. But there have been batches where I've attended and, you know, and explained Deeb's position. And if we do have something like that, then we should at least say, hey, you know, we're going to, there's going to be a member there to explain Dave's position. Should you have any questions? Sometimes they ask them, sometimes they don't.
The stormwater manual update is probably a big one where maybe it makes sense for some of us to be able to be there and, you know, provide, you know, a view from the opposite side, you know, from a development perspective. And
on that note, I heard feedback that we haven't really contributed much on the feedback outside of this meeting. So if you have comments that are on the they'd like to have, not the must have, it would be a good, this is a good window of time for us to go back and look at those and have a conversation.
I actually did have a bunch of emails because they emailed me the geotechs that came and presented on that groundwater issue. And the intent, it's one of those things where the way the code is written or the way the ecology guidance is written doesn't make any sense. You're basically taking, if you have to be, if to show your groundwater mounding doesn't come up to that same distance that you're able to put the bottom of your system at, it doesn't make any sense. And you've actually kind of taken almost the entire area of battleground and made it undevelopable because groundwater there is fairly high. So that's not the intent. So I don't know, we're going to need to do a little work there, but I have had some follow-up correspondence.
I forwarded that to all the firm and said, hey, take a look at this. Hey, here's this next one. Here's the next batch. And
yeah,
it was only do so much.
Yeah, it was more just a comment that we don't miss our window, that we, you know, keep on the people that we're asking for input so that we can get that input to them in time before right. They have to submit everything.
I remember something else that was mentioned was that there's a question, I don't know who asked it, but they were like, so is there a council member on DEEB as there is on other boards? And the answer, of course, was no. But and I know that they have attended one or two at a time. I don't think they could do more than two at a time. But it might be nice for, you know, them to attend and to chime in. We've had some counselors, commissioners that would regularly attend and sit in the back and listen. And they might be here for 10 minutes. They might be here for the whole meeting. So I just might throw that out there to the counselors that we know you're busy. Hopefully you listen to the recordings of this later on, but your active participation in our meetings would be just as valuable as our active participation in workshops and hearings as well.
And Michelle specifically noted during that she does go back and listen to the recordings of Dave meetings.
Good. That's great.
And I think it was Matt asked kind of how does the communication between DEEB and council work? So
it's kind of fallen off by the wayside because of COVID. A lot better before COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments beyond staff communication that anybody took notes on? Or
I just think we need to just pay closer attention to what they are, both PC, because whatever goes to the PC is going to go to council. And so we need to just kind of look, maybe be a little forward thinking to be able to understand what's going to be coming up on council's agenda that we might want to be available for from a work session and a hearing standpoint. I think that's incumbent upon us to look at that so that they don't have to say, well, how come Deeb's not here? This is a development issue, you know, and we have the recommendation, but I have some questions about their recommendation.
Hey, Eric, did your notes go into detail about what Glenn asked about the ADUs?
I think we just discussed it.
Okay.
There wasn't any
action. He brought it up is what I had written.
I think Eric and I just the two of us had a conversation afterwards, but we haven't discussed it any further than that, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Do we want to make ADUs a topic of a future DEEB meeting?
Well, ADUs really have been addressed with the first part of the housing code, housing options. The piece that's kind of off is the rural ADUs, and it continues to not get passed at the state level. So there was a question, other GMA counties allow ADUs in the rural area detached. And there's some caveat where in GMA counties, you can actually have detached ADUs, but it counts against your density. So, for example, if you have a parcel that's 10 acres and it's R5, you can put an ADU on it. But if you have anything under 10, then you can't do an ADU because it counts as an additional unit. And I'm not sure what the justification, it's gone through the state several times. So that's technically the way the RCW, now the county, I think, just has it. They just don't allow them in the rural area because it's probably kind of hard to regulate, because what if you didn't split it and now you have two? So you have to kind of think of the unintended consequences. People are just putting in guest houses.
This is one of those things, especially if they split divided. And, but if they divide it, I think any ADUs have to be on the same septic system in those non-GMA counties. And so then if you do a division with an ADU in the rural area in a GMA county and they're on the same septic system, that goes against Department of or Clark County Public Health.
Yeah. In those other counties, you can't have two septics on the same lot.
You can.
As long as they meet the separation and they don't really care about the lot.
Okay, gotcha.
No, they don't care as much about it in those counties. In Clark County, it's different.
And so I think the ADU question is kind of, if we can clarify some way, somehow, of why they're not being built in Clark County when other GMA counties do build them in rural areas. I think they're just looking for some information on why. And then is that how we want it to continue?
Was that a request directly from the council? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's kind of a short conversation because we really need to have the state kind of allow it. We can say what's allowed other places, and we can have some minor adjustments. Like, you know, we could talk about that 10 acre if it's zoned R5 and it just counts against the density. It doesn't really help us. It doesn't help the intent of what people actually want to do, because rarely is that the issue. So, and people just start building guest houses. It's a workaround because they make it so hard to do the ADUs. So they end up doing guest houses.
Guest houses.
Which are less regulated, and you can make them even larger.
But you can't have a kitchen.
Yeah, you can't have a kitchen. Who cooks anyway anymore?
Right.
All right.
This is Terry Wallum.
Hey, Terry.
Yep.
I was just going to add in regards to the ADUs. I know there's the missing middle housing bill that passed, and that was to be applied at the end of this year. I know there's some discussion about the potential of possibly extending that. I know that applies towards the city of Vancouver, and I believe that it applies towards a Clark County jurisdiction, but I could be wrong on that. I think that that was a bill that passed in prior year, and then we have Columbian had a good article today that was on the front page, and that kind of talks about quite a few housing bills that have passed that would apply for next year. I think it's too early, you know, governor hasn't signed bills, but I do think it should be something we keep on our radar to be able to kind of talk about, just so at a minimum, just on everyone's radar to, hey, here's bills that are coming up. You know, what code needs to be created? How would it be applied? And then for the missing middle housing bill, is that something that the county needs to adopt for the end of the year, be prepared for? And that basically allows for 4 units per parcel. And I believe that's only in the urban growth boundary. I do not believe that's outside the urban growth boundary, but I could be wrong on that as well. So I think I can look at that bill just to confirm what the language is and what's allowed and if it would apply towards a county jurisdiction or if it's just city jurisdictions. And it's only for certain population sizes. I know at this current time, Vancouver and Clark County are the only ones of size that would have that bill applied to them. So City of Vancouver, in regards to ADUs, they have already adopted some code that allows for a short plat process that is very brief in comparison to the Clark County process. So it's kind of like it seemed like it was a step to be prepared for this missing middle housing bill to be applied. And so they were kind of taking a baby step that direction. that might be something to look at for Clark County, or at least to be prepared for the end of the year. And I think with that code, you will see a lot more potentially ADUs being used. But the general response, I would say the reason why is the denser the location, which would be downtown Vancouver and areas like that, you're going to tend to have more ADUs than you do further out from that. So it would make sense City of Vancouver would have a higher number of ADUs in relation to Clark County jurisdiction, given it is, I'm not going to say a rural setting, but a more rural setting. So that was my only input. Thanks.
Terry, on that one, Clark County is ahead of the curve on that one. They've already adopted it with this group and county staff. They did a great job of getting ahead of that one. So we already allow the 3 to 4 units, depending on where you're at in a transit station, 2 ADUs per lot in the urban growth boundary. So those are already adopted, and, you know, creative things like compact lots, cottages, decreased lot size. So I can share some information with you offline. Send me an email. I'll send it over to you. But yeah, we're kind of ahead of the curve on that one. One that did just pass, though, and I was surprised, was the lot splitting bill. So yeah, that did pass. And I thought it was dead. And I guess it kind of came back. But the idea with that one is to have, if you're just splitting one lot off, especially with these new middle housing things, that you don't have to go through a short plat process, you don't have to go through a subdivision. It should be very similar to what you do in the rural area when you have, I think, 40. Yeah, it's a segregation. It's similar to a segregation. Yeah. So you could do it through the assessor's office. Now, I think there's some caveats, and that's something we should get ahead of and make sure that we have the process set up, because it's going to be different to the county. And I know they're concerned about some things, like there's little caveats about what is actually required to be built and when do they apply. Say things like frontage improvements and sidewalks. And I think the intent is, if there's not sidewalks on either side, or there's not sidewalks, but frontage improvements on either side, you match the character. So that's, I think, the intent. And it could be conditioned with the building permits in some situations, if they're required at all. If you basically put all the same requirements and all the same engineering standards as you do on short plats, it's useless. Yep. There already is a way to split a lot in half, and it's not cost effective. It costs probably $60,000 or more just to split one lot off. That's if you don't have to build anything. That's just the process. So we get calls all the time. I'm going to do a 2-lot short plat. I'm like, and I kind of chuckle a little bit, and then I explain
the cost. We all have the same conversations. Yep.
Here's what's going to cost you. And that's if there's no improvements.
And it's going to take a year, or a year and a half.
And then I talk them into building an ADU instead. That's what they want to do. So.
Yeah, I think we should have that as an agenda item, is to go through. There's, I think, 5 that I noticed that got passed that will have a pretty big impact on development in Clark County. So
did you want to look at that for next month?
Yeah, I think next month would be fine.
Are we getting full for next month?
I think we're a little early, because the governor still hasn't signed it. We've the guidance.
Okay.
So that's going to be something, and there's going to be an adoption window for that.
I think like the governor will by then, because none of those have a budget impact.
Yeah.
It's just the fiscal ones that are going to take a while.
Why don't you?
The state's already sent out guidance on the unit lot subdivision, is what they're referring to it as. Mm-hmm. One of the planners in the office actually reached out to Vancouver and Clark County, and Susan just responded today saying that it's part of phase 3 of the, you know, middle housing updates. You know, phase 1 is done, you know, working on phase 2. So phase 3 would probably happen sometime in 2026.
Well, let's definitely get on our radar. I mean, we could do it next month. I'm just thinking it might be a little soon to do other research. I'd rather do it right and make sure that we have some momentum and some guidance first. We still are working on phase 2 of this. We haven't seen any new code.
Haven't seen a thing.
We haven't. I have, because I'm on the committee, but it's kind of stalled a little bit. We're getting back into it. We have a new meeting now. Yep. So we'll know more. And we just had another meeting.
I was just going to say, one bill, the condo bill, is in front of the governor and kind of what's being mentioned. And so that's 12 units or less. And it's going to basically allow for similar risk exposure for a builder developer that does 12 units or less, if it's 2 stories or less, or if it has a parking element on the main floor.
So I think with that lack of risk, we'll see more ADUs because it provides for that affordable housing element for infill options. So I do think that with that bill, if that bill passes with the governor's signature, then probably we'll see a strong increase in the amount of ADUs that are constructed, with that condo bill being a tool to basically limit risk that makes makes it a tool for providing more housing units. So
yeah, that was one of the ones that I had circled as well. The only other thing that I wanted to maybe talk about in terms of future meetings is I know some of you guys have gone through the expedited review process, the beta version. Are we at a point where we can do a lessons learned on those yet?
I haven't.
Anybody?
I've done it dozens of times in the city of Vancouver and right. Never had any issues. So, Seth?
Yeah, I guess we've got one where we received plan approval. So it went smoothly, I guess. And yeah, there weren't any big hiccups or anything.
Okay.
Just a pretty straightforward development because it was previously platted as an industrial plat. And so we were just taking one of those lots and moving it forward. So, boundary and everything was very clean. But
okay.
It did save us probably 3 months, on that review process, to have the final engineering reviewed as part of the land use.
Still here. April left.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Seth and somebody on the county side. I don't know if that's is that an April thing or a...
Yeah. No, it would be me.
You. Okay.
Yeah. We've done some of that lessons learned internally and are trying to draft some guidelines in terms of trying to formalize a program, what scope of projects are appropriate, what's the process for requesting it, getting it approved. I would agree that, we've had two cases go completely through the process.
Two.
And we have another one, I believe, that's just getting started. And I think one more that's requested, but they haven't submitted yet. But the companion to the project Seth was referring to was same industrial subdivision, and it did not go quite as smoothly. There were some challenges in that process, but.
Is this something that next month we could do an agenda item on it, or is that?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty consistent. I think we met with the city again, and part of our debrief and touch base with them. And, while we may not be describing it the same way, it's functionally very similar to how they're doing it.
Great. Thank you.
And Victoria, once you see everything that we've requested to be on next month, just check with Ryan and I, and we'll whittle it down.
If something needs to move, that's okay.
July.
All right. With that, I will move to public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment?
Justin Wood here, Clark County Association of Realtors. Just wanted to kind of tell the DEEB committee, I was a member of the community advisory group that dealt with the climate element within the comprehensive plan update. So I can provide a little context there, and I would also encourage you all to go on the county's website. The community advisory group is kind of the name, and we were the voting body that forwarded the recommendations to Planning Commission. And so there were a lot of requirements within that legislation, House Bill 1181. So if you guys want any more information on that, you can go on the county's website and then look at that law and kind of put two and two together. But it was a great process, and it was a lot of work. So.
Might be good to have some guests when we do look at that so we can get some insight on what they were thinking, because it's kind of rare that one of those groups and no one from this immediate group was on there, but we can designate people outside to serve on committees as well, and we've done that in the past. So
getting their position or background would be good.
Any other public comment? Okay, with that, I will remind everybody that the next DEEB meeting is June 5th, 2025, 2 p.m. in this very room. We are adjourned.